everyone. My name is Jason, and today I'm going to be talking to you about varied horizons in pentagenesis in deep forest soils. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Christiana Dietzen, Cole Gross, and Rob Harrison at the University of Washington. So my work has really come from a very basic perspective of trying to probe the question of how deep is soil, really. It's sort of been an interesting journey for me because I came into this not really even thinking about that question. I had these samples that I needed to analyze. And then as I was going through the literature, I realized that this is not a simple question, and it's been a difficulty in sort of definition for a long time. On the one hand, we have things like Hughes' soil taxonomy, by which we're describing all our soils in the United States, which states in the preface that there is no alternative but to set the lower limit of the soil for the arbitrary limit of 200 centimeters. Well, great, you know, why should we look any deeper, right? And that flies in the face of some of these early researchers, for example, who stated that the soil is the entire upper weathering layer of the Earth's crust. Now, that would encompass a much broader perspective of what soil really is. Of course, when we're actually out in the field and trying to sample this, it's not so much a theoretical exercise so much as it's a budget limitation. It's how hard it is to dig in those kind of environments, time restraints, logistical limitations, right? So it's really not as simple as sort of a theoretical understanding. It's also the difficulty of even observing what's deeper in the soil profile. So we went out and we excavated 37 different sites over two different sampling years. Today I'll be focusing on sort of five individual sites across that range of sites. All of these samples cover the major regional parent materials. We have a bunch of volcanically influenced soils. We have glacial soils that formed around the Puget Basin, sedimentary soils, especially down as you go further south into Oregon. This covers four different soil orders, ultisols, alfisols, andisols, and inceptisols. In all of these cases, the only way we're able to do this is going out into intensively managed Douglas fir stands. They had good logging roads, we could get out there, and we could specifically get this out in the woods. So this is how we got our samples. And of course, you know, as impressive as it might be, our sampling depth was dependent on how long this arm was. It wasn't a theoretical understanding of here's how deep the soil is. In fact, you'll see that there are some of these profiles we didn't even get down to the sea horizon with this. So it's not a purely theoretical exercise, even in our case. At each of these sites, obviously we had to put in some safety considerations in these pits. And we took bulk density samples at standard depths all the way down the profile, 2.5 to 3 meters, and quantified carbon, nitrogen, variety of other nutrients. So here's, for example, one of these profiles. This is the Centralia series. It's just south of Olympia. And here you have sort of an OE, sort of slightly decomposed O horizon, AB, going on to some deep BT horizons down here. And there's a fair amount of clay in this soil, and then it grades into these C horizons. Now, we'll notice there are roots extending. In fact, we found fine roots and medium roots all the way down to the bottom of this profile. So trees, Douglas fir in this case, are definitely exploiting the deeper parts of the soil profile, probably for water when you have these really dry summer events. These trees are growing quite a lot, and there's no rain, right? And so one of the mechanisms that may be happening is by utilization of these deeper soil horizons. When we look at the carbon concentration here, obviously you see that regular decline with depth, but even small changes, this is a difference from like 0.05% carbon to 0.08 or 0.09% carbon, and that actually makes a substantial difference in that total carbon pool deeper in the soil profile. This is one of those soils where we never saw a sea horizon. We kind of scraped at the bottom of this profile with that arm for, 45 minutes, taking, an inch off at a time, because this was really, really clay-rich material going all the way down, AB horizons, and this really extensive clay BT horizon development here. And we actually see some interesting patterns with the soil organic carbon. So obviously there's a regular decline with depth. Now, these boxes are a little bit skewed. This is actually 30 centimeters in depth. This is 10, so it's not just a pure decline with depth that we're seeing there. But there's certainly still an accumulation and a certain quantity of carbon that's down below 1 meter. Across all of these sites in total, there was about 23% of our total carbon was below 1 meter. So there's still, even though we're maybe trying to estimate down to 1 meter on our national surveys, there's still even carbon that we're missing down below that. This is a soil where we actually saw about a meter's worth of A horizon. So the A horizon is about 75 centimeters deep, and then you have this AB horizon here where you have even more organic matter accumulating. you have a BT horizon down here and some glaying features down on the bottom of the soil profile. So this is one of the most productive soils in the Northwest for growing trees. This is just outside of Newport, Oregon, very close to the coast. That deep A horizon resulted in some really amazing accumulations of carbon deeper in that subsoil. So even though we have really high percent carbon, almost 10% in the surface part of this profile, even when you have sort of relatively lower carbon concentrations deeper in that profile, because you get increases in bulk density and the volume of this soil is just so large, so much organic matter, you have really huge stocks of carbon down deeper in that soil profile. Even when you're looking down here, I mean, I had to actually stretch this this axis. So this is actually as much soil carbon as you saw in the A horizon of that previous site, down here below one meter. So there's quite a lot of carbon in this soil, really throughout the profile. Finally, we see some buried horizons. As we're starting to dig here, you see some mechanisms by which soil is getting buried. So this is a soil just outside North Cascades National Park. And you have A horizon, BW horizon, grading into C. And then we have this little red bathtub ring right around the whole part of this pit. And what we figured out is this is probably mass movement. There was some kind of landslide event that would have buried an old soil that was here before. That grades into C horizons down here. And there's actually another buried profile down at the very bottom. Really totally different color, totally different texture. And this is much more clay-rich, so this probably is a much older soil that we saw down here compared to all of the development that's been happening up here in the last 10,000 years since glaciation. When we look at the soil carbon profile at this site, you can see that this buried horizon down here still carries, even though it's a small uptick in the percent carbon to maybe 0.5%, this is a fairly substantial stock down there when you compare it to the rest of the profile. Now, there are a variety of different ways that you can get buried soils, right? You have volcanic burial. This is a profile from Japan where you see really amazingly clear, you know, sequence of different A horizons with depth. This is a soil where, this is about a meter deep A horizon, the Brady soil in Nebraska, that's been buried under 6 meters of lust. So this is, you know, quite a lot of carbon that's been totally buried. And this is now coming to the surface in certain places, and it can be reactive. Likewise with rivers. In these floodplains, you get burial of soils. We have very, very poor understanding of the spatial extent of these processes over wide scale, and likewise, we have very poor understanding of how much carbon is in these buried horizons that are below, and really unpredictable if you're just sampling at the surface of the soil. This is one of those volcanic soils where you see a buried horizon. You have A horizons, BW horizons. Here we have a very deep, basically pumice layer that was laid down. This site is right smack dab in between Mount Rainier and Mount St. Helens. Probably has contributions from both volcanoes. But down here, you can't really see it, but there's a dark little layer right here, and that's a buried A horizon / buried BW horizon. And you can see that has an enormous contribution to the site carbon budget here. So when you see these buried soil profiles, this is not going to be predictable unless you know from the site history and the disturbance history of that site that this is going to be there, and you should expect that to be there. Likewise, soil nitrogen, right? Soil nitrogen very much tracks soil carbon. This is a very important pool potentially for plant growth at this site. These pumice layers have very little in the way of nutrition in terms of organic matter. You know, there's obviously pretty good cycling and development up here in the soil in the A horizon. But we know that this can impact productivity. This was a study back in 1969 where they fully excavated 60 ponderosa pine trees. This is outside of former Mount Mazama, what's now Crater Lake. And in these Newberry series where they have sort of the further you get away from the volcano, the thinner that pumice horizon is, that C horizon that was above a buried soil. And here's what they saw for growth. When the roots never made it into that buried A horizon, relatively steady growth. But at the point in time that those roots are finally able to break into that buried A horizon, growth shoots up really fast. When you have early access to that buried A horizon where that C horizon is much shallower, trees that were 20 years old were as tall as trees that were 60 years old but didn't have access. So it can have really profound changes on your productivity if you have access to some of these nutrient-rich buried horizons. So a couple of takeaways from this work. Obviously, arbitrary depth limitations, blinds to a number of things, buried soil horizons. This, in some ways, can't be avoided, right? There has to be some kind of limit to what your budget can sustain, what your time limit can sustain. but we should be trying to look and be curious about what's deeper in the soil profile, because you might be missing something at your site. We know that there's substantial stocks of carbon and other nutrients at these soils. And sort of our next steps, I really want to look at maybe some of these fluorescent spectroscopy and other methods at looking at what is the quality, age, decomposability, mobility of this carbon that's deeper in the soil profile, because we have very few observations of it, and I think it would be useful to understand how this is starting to, or potentially changing with soil management. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.